wooden desks pitted with ink stains and, who would think it of erudite men, scratched initials and dates. Alas, that is all long gone. This new undecorated chamber is painfully dull. Grubby white walls, plain tiles, and even plainer desks. The place is barely half full today. There has been another plague recently, and scholars, in my experience, never the bravest of souls, are dragging their feet to return. Most of them I have seen before, so I know where I am heading long before the archivist reaches her desk. I would have noticed her anyway. It is almost always women who come for me these days, as she is dressed with a certain flair. A fitted leaf-green top over Turkish-wide ochre trousers and a long crocus-yellow scarf. Oh, but how I miss colour. It was everywhere in our lives. Painted ceilings, gilded wood, frescoed walls, pigments and dyes from every known corner of the earth. We dressed in rainbows, gold silk, velvets bright as new blood, blue luminous as Our Lady's cloak. It's a wonder to me that anyone can access such a past in a barren space like this. I have her scent now, a common blossom, cheap, with something clawing underneath, from the Indies, no doubt. I could have done better for her. Close to, she is older than the flamboyance of her wardrobe suggests. Still, she has an excellent head of hair, a storm of dark curls, caught up with a careful carelessness at the back of her head, a few strands straggling free. I've been in the company of worse. She sits for a moment, the bulging files in front of her. Do I detect a touch of nerves? As she loosens the cloth ties on the first one, a mountain of brittle paper explodes upwards, for all the world like some kind of living thing released from captivity. Her intake of breath gives away her excitement. She lifts a single sheet up to the light, wafer thin, the creeping stain of the wax seal, ink faded almost to nothing in places. Holding history in one's hand, it's a moment that never fails. I am there long before her. This is a note from my agent in Venice, his expansive script gives him away, telling me of the arrival of a consignment of silks from the Indies and a silver bowl I have commissioned ready for dispatch. Isabella d'Este, the consummate shopper. Is that why she is here? She would not be the first. Shopping, it seems, has its own history these days, and there are few who did it better than I. I could announce myself to her now if I wished. Fan open the leaves of her notebook, breathe hot or cold draughts into her ear. Over the years I've been known to resort to mischief, blow blots of ink over some scholar's derogatory sentence, nudge the elbow of those who dared to fall asleep over my papers so that an arm slips off the desk and they wake in embarrassed panic. When I was a child, my mother told me that if I prayed hard enough, I might detect the beat of angels' wings as they moved over my head. I never felt them. But I poured so much of myself into the trying that at times I swear I felt the air shimmering around me. Now it seems I am the invisible angel, fanning breezes onto those who study my correspondence. Thousands of letters, both from and to me, a few in my own hand, the rest dictated through my secretary and transcribed later into copybooks for safekeeping. We poured out our lives in ink then, the scratch of goose quill on paper, a constant music in our ears. Which makes it even stranger that I live inside such silence now, the only one, it seems, who wakes when I am called for. In the beginning, I felt sure there must be others. I swear I once heard my husband's rolling laughter, how he guffawed when recalling some lewd joke, or the sound of Federico's childish voice singing out my name. But I think now it was only the work of the invisible worm. Over time I have grown accustomed to my solitude, as one does eventually to most things. I was born with a curious disposition, and it is not without interest being an observer on the way each succeeding present refashions the past. It is a slippery idea, this thing called history. She puts the page back into its folder, then pulls the second box towards her. Gonzaga caught correspondence from an